Good morning. Oh, sorry, afternoon. Amen. Okay, sorry, I'm using Nigerian time. Amen. It's such a blessing to be here. In the last few months, there's a song that has been my prayer. So I'd just like us to sing it, and then I have a small word to share with you before Brother Bot comes. He says, unless the Father draws him, no man shall see his face. Amen. You don't know it?
I do.
You know it very good, so.
Paul knows.
Okay, Paul knows too. Amen. So, amen. Unless the Father draws him, no man will see his face. And when the Father draws him, it is only by his that cattle, that offering. We ask, Lord, that you might draw us.
Amen.
Draw us, O God. For we see that the night is so far spent. And we see the horizon. We see the army ready to march. We see a changing of the season. And we know it's the time for the Carmel train to come home. So Lord, we ask that you might, in your mercy, you might mercy, O God, minister to us. Minister to our hearts. And Lord, they might change our hearts forever.
Amen.
That we may see your face. We may behold your face. So we ask, Lord, that you might grant bountiful seed to the sower. And Lord, give us fresh bread. Even refined wine on the lees. Even the very fatness of heaven. Blessed be your name, O God. That the desolations of many generations will be visited by you, O God. Might be rolled away. In the name of Jesus. We pray you might change our church mentality. Visit our church mentality, O God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, thank you. There are two scriptures I'd like to read and just make some comments, and then Brother Bot will come. The first one is in Jeremiah, and then the second one is in Revelation. The first one, Jeremiah, takes us back to Babylon, where we were. Yes, you know, we. The ministry was from Daniel, but now we're in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 51, verse 6 says, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver." You know, I like English a lot, so I like to pick the words. So I want you to pick the words with me. Amen. So flee out of the midst of Babylon. So the English is very clear. You know, so we're talking about Babylon. The midst of Babylon. And deliver every man his soul. Who is going to deliver the soul? Deliver every man his soul. You see, and that shows what God is doing today. Right now, the emphasis is on every man. It's not a church thing. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
It's not a church thing. You know, so in the outer court, it's a church thing. But as we progress, someone, you know, Brother Lazarus was talking about sonship, that we are called sonship. The length of the tabernacle is 100 cubits. That's the length, that is the maximum. It's not 101, it's 100 cubits. And the number 100 is a prophetic word for sonship. Abraham was 75 when he had the promise, and he waited for 25 more years when he had the son. So he had the son when he was 100 years. So 100 is the maximum. It speaks of the end of our faith. So God is calling us to 100. Amen. 50 is just a middle way, and that speaks of the Pentecostal dimension and experience and all that. So if you and I are at Pentecost, and that's where we are just halfway through. You understand? So there is an urgency in what God is saying, because God is winding down the age. This age is drawing to a close. We've had seven dispensations. And according to God's order, every dispensation must end with tribulation, must end with fire and judgment. Beginning from Adam down the road, there have been six. Now we're in the sixth one, and we're in the sixth day, and we're in the first part of the sixth day. The day begins with darkness and then goes into light. I don't know if you understand. So the thing is winding down, and we are rushing into tribulation. It's an organized management of God to head the church, head not just the church. We're pushing the world into the events of the world, and everything is turning. The weather is turning. Everything is going to go out of man's control, and then will come into the sphere of God's control. So science, all those things you will find will no longer have a relevance, because you see, when God judges, He judges with His weaponry, and that is the element. He will use the wind, the air, the flood, famine. He says, "I will come with you after the flood with famine, with the pestilence." So those is the weaponry of God, and they are increasingly being released. I want you to understand. So the dispensation of the age will end with judgment, with tribulation. And there's nothing you and I can do about it. So the only thing is to change our theology to fit into that. So coming to the scripture, it says, "Flee every man out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul." So for me, there are two operative words there: midst of Babylon and soul. Alright. It says, well, let's just read through. We'll come back. It says, "Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." Babylon. You know, the word Babylon is historic and also spiritual at the same time. So there are different dimensions of the historic Babylon, and also different dimensions of the application. If it's just historic, that history, that's not why we're here. So there is an application of Babylon in its setting. Babylon in the historic form is speaking of Nimrod. And Nimrod has a lot to do with England, you understand? You know, because the Celtic people came from Babylon. And the traditional religion, the traditional spirit of this land is magic and sorcery and murder. That's human sacrifice. So much blood has been stained on this land, you understand? So so Christianity is an implanted religion that has lost its power. And therefore, the land has fallen back to its original heritage. You understand? So that is the background of what you are looking at. So Babylon is an ancient thing, but there is a spiritual application, which is what we are going to look at as we get on. Verse 8 says, "Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so, she may be healed." He says, we would have healed Babylon. You know, it's a very special English. You know, but she is not healed. It's continual. That is, there's nothing. It's finished. It's final. You know, you understand? 10 years from now, Babylon is not healed. Yeah, there's nothing you can do out of Babylon. The only thing you can do is to what? Flee out of Babylon. And you know, so God is not looking at systems, you know, looking at platforms. He's looking at it's a word that to call every soul, deliver yourself out of Babylon. You know, so he says she's not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country, into his own inheritance. For her judgment reached unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord has brought forth righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord. Say, make bright the arrows, gather the shield. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Let me go quickly to Revelation 11. It says, "And there was given me," is the same spirit, "and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto worldliness. I read Gentiles, if that word is speaking of worldliness, carnality, and all the things that go with it. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. The church is going into decline. The thing called church is history. I hope you understand. There's no place where it is more relevant than England here, because the people that once championed God's interest are now championing his destruction. Okay. So the thing called church, the world is casting off, the very fear of God is being cast off. And there is a libertine culture that is coming for, where every man does whatever is good in his sight. So it is a reprobate generation. And the thing called church is going, so it's not new in the sense that it's something prophesied. Again, so let's look at verse 2 again. Let's try and pick the words. No, let's go to verse 1. It says, rise and measure. I'm looking at that phrase, the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So the thing is, what is the temple of God? You know, what do you understand? In your theology, what is the temple? You know, so if God says, do not measure, or say, measure the temple, and then don't measure something else, you know, and then you put it together with the scripture in Jeremiah, where it says, deliver every man his soul. You understand? So God has an interest. And God's interest may not be my interest. So I have a choice. Am I going to, you know, factor in into God? That is, make God's interest my interest. You know, now if I make God's interest my interest, then there is peace. I get into God's divine order. Now if I make my own interest, God, you know, my own interest, then you have two wills, God's will and my will, and that is my choice. I don't know if you understand. So the temple, the thing that God calls temple, may not be what you call temple. And the devil has worked actively to change Christian theology. Right from the first century, in the time of Constantine, he got into the church and began to rewrite church doctrine. You know, so God is eternal, and God's temple is eternal. I don't know if you understand. God is eternal, and God's temple is eternal. You are English, you live in an English design house. Your house is not American design. I don't know if you understand. When you go to the US, you see American design houses. That's the way they live. When you go to Nigeria, they live in Nigerian textured type of house. When you go to Ethiopia, they use different things to build. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship in that framework, in that frame of mind. Amen. Now, the woman at the well, it came just like you and I, with our church mentality. It's okay, fine. I am from Samaria. You are from Jerusalem. My church is bigger than your own. You think you people have a bigger church. We in Samaria, we have a bigger church. And Jesus said, you don't understand. Both Jerusalem and Samaria, they're out of it. Amen. Because I come from a new era. I'm coming from a new dimension. And where I come from, those who worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus was addressing four dispensations of Jewish tradition, where when you worship God, you leave your church, you leave your house, you go somewhere else. You must go to Jerusalem to worship. You understand? You don't worship God at home. When you want to make your offering, the Bible says you take your offering, you go to the temple, and you give your offering to the priest, and the priest makes the offering for you. That was the setting. But Jesus said, no, that the time has not come, that the temple of God is me. Jesus said he spoke of his temple. You understand? And he said he spoke of the temple of his body. It so happens that, you know, in the New Testament, in this time, we still have this church mentality of location. That is, when I worship God, I come to Hornsey, and I am in church. And what I'm saying to you is still current. This is what time now? 12:30. This is a current theology. Okay, that when I come in here, then this is church. I'm in church now. Then in the next 2 hours, church ends. Because I'm now going to work. And now, you know, you go to different, so you're no longer in church. And the devil wants you to remain that way. And the Bible says my people love to have it so. You understand? We love church. You know? And so you have church spirit. You have a religious spirit. Alright? And that thing, it has nothing to do with God. It is a mentality. And that is why the church is going downhill, because my people have broken rank with God. Alright? So God has a principle. And that's why he says don't measure it. You know. Now when he says the outer court, the court which is without, it's not referring to anything, but there is only one specific thing it is referring to. And that court is speaking about the tabernacle of David, or sorry, of Moses. And in that Moses tabernacle, there were three courts: the outer court, the holy place, and then the innermost one. When I sat down on Friday, God was speaking to me, said, it is time to move out of the holy place into the most holy place. That was the word I heard yesterday on Friday when I sat down. And as I sat down again, that was the word that was pressing on my heart, you know, which I want to share with you. There's a trumpet. There is something that God is saying. What is God? If someone asks, what is God saying now? I think you can say something. That God is saying, it is time to go what? To leave the holy place, to go to the most holy place. So, if it is that I am in the outer court, so I have two assignments. First, leave the outer court to the holy place. And that's why you are going there. That is, sorry, you are coming to a place where people are already vacating. Do you understand? God is already vacating the holy place. But see, I may be there. And if we have time, I will show you. You know, you see, when God says leave the holy place, who is leaving the holy place? Who is leaving the outer court? Who? You, this man is a computer man. You are working and doing all the things you are doing. I'm a medical person and doing. So, how do I leave the holy place? How do I leave the outer court? What is God talking of? What really? So, when he says measure the temple, which part? What is the temple? What is he speaking of? If this is the temple, if man is the temple, then who is God addressing? Is God addressing my body? Is God addressing my soul? Is God addressing my spirit? Those are the three components of man, of this man, you see. Is it not? Okay. Now, the devil has also gone ahead of you, and he's brought forth a theology that tells you that man is a spirit. Okay, and he has a body, and he lives in the body. So you develop your spirit. Alright? And so that's what the devil wants you to do. You leave your soul fallow, unattended to. You understand? You are developing your spirit. And at the end of the day, the Bible says, your spirit goes where? Your spirit is a donation from God. It is an instrument, a grace given to you, so that your spirit, your soul, can communicate with God. You understand? The body goes down to the dust. So that is settled. All right? So if you are spending 70 years working to take care of my body, make it fine, I have worn a nice suit, do all that, fine, no problem. It has a history. After some time, dust to dust. Settled. You understand? So that we already know the judgment. But Bible says that the soul goes to God for judgment. That's where the account is. Alright? The dog outside has no account before God. You understand? You know, his soul like you also. But he has no account. God does not judge the soul. But Bible says the soul that sinneth, he shall die. There's an account. There is a judgment, a responsibility upon the soul. And that's why within the soul, there is a conscience. That is the law. That's the realm of the law. Do you understand? So, when God is speaking about measuring the temples, measuring the altar, there is something specific. He's speaking about the soul. And the Bible says, flee every man his soul from Babylon. So, the soul is the object of judgment. The soul is the object of God's interest. And he says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and cannot give account for his soul? Amen. So as you are sitting down here, if you cannot account for your emotions, for your thoughts, for your desires, for your will, that you do not have an account, you cannot tell God what you have done. The Bible says that he that has no control over his own spirit. That word spirit is nefesh. That's the Hebrew word, nefesh. And nefesh can mean spirit, it can mean soul. That was the way the Hebrews described it. And God says, he that has no control over his own spirit is like what? A city that is broken down without walls. And he said that he that is slow to anger is stronger than the mighty. And that he that has ruled over his own spirit is better, is stronger, is a mighty man in the eyes of God than he that is holding crusades and running all over London. Do you understand? So there is a measurement. There is a, Adam Smith, he came out of this land. He says, the economist, what did he call it? You know, there's a scale, there's a priority, there's a scale. You understand? God has a scale. And in God's scale, there is something that measures your thoughts. Your thoughts. The history of your thoughts. The history, that is the stability of your emotions. That is your will. The things you do with these four realms, these four components, that is the God's interest. That is his dwelling place, you understand? That is God's temple. And that is really the priesthood. So when you come into the region of Revelation, he's speaking about the four living creatures. He's speaking about a priesthood of Melchizedek. And the Bible said that this priesthood, that there was a sacrifice made. When was the sacrifice made? Before the foundation of the world. Upon which altar was that sacrifice made? If there was a sacrifice made, it had to be on an altar, is it not? And it had to be based on a priesthood. And it must be based to fulfill a covenant. For those are the four elements. You understand? So, even before Abraham came on the scene, there was a priesthood already in function, in motion. And it was the priesthood of the soul. So, if you are majoring, or if I am majoring on an outdated and an abolished priesthood, the old order is abolished. You understand? And the Bible said that the new covenant cannot be compared. That there is nothing in the new to be compared with the old. That's 2 Corinthians 3. There's no way. And he said that as long as you function under that old covenant, then there is a veil under the mind. That means there's a limit that your mind can rise. In other words, the mind is bound perpetually in Babylon. The mind cannot rise because there's a veil. But it says there's a hope for the mind. that when that mind turns to the Lord, then the veil begins to be taken away. So you have to determine, what do you want? Do you want your mind in Babylon? And he tells you the history of Babylon. He says, Babylon cannot be healed. That is, I'm dwelling in a place that is already condemned. That is, I'm building temples, I'm building up treasures in something. It's like somebody storing something in a basket. You cannot hold it. You cannot hold. And the devil comes and he's presenting something to you. He presents something to me. What is he presenting to me? He's presenting passion, a culture of passion, of reverie. It's Baal worship. I don't, you understand? Entertainment. The whole thing of entertainment is Baal worship. It is Og and Sihon. That is, it is the gateway into the promised land. You cannot come into that place where the mind is released unless you deal with that lifestyle of entertainment and passion. That is, I work so that I can buy an 80-inch television so that when I get home, I can watch. You understand? That's, I work to live in a 3-story mansion so that I can be good, my children can sleep on a good bed and all that. There's no problem with that. But the thing is that all that is answering to just the flesh. And the flesh is going down. He said both the meat and the belly, both of them are going down. But there is something that will not go down, and that is what God will ask you of. What is that? What have you done with your mind? Because the altar that is being measured is the altar of the mind. The Bible says that if a man brings a sacrifice, look at Proverbs 2. Can only see Proverbs 21:27. I think I'll end with that, then we're about to come. Proverbs 21:27. Yes. He said, the sacrifice of the wicked is what? Abomination. How much more? When he does what? When he bringeth it with it. So ask yourself a question. Who is bringing the sacrifice? You have a wicked mind. Right? There's a man that is wicked. Is it not so? Who brings the sacrifice? Is it his leg? Eh? Is it his head that is bringing? Is it the brain that brings it? The brain is ruled by the mind. You understand? So who really is bringing the sacrifice? You see, everything you do, you have done today, and you will do for the rest of the day, emanates from one source, from the mind. And the Bible says, if that mind is wicked, it is about, what is wicked, wickedness? Well, I'm sure Brad Bott will deal with that. It's darkness. There is a darkness. Paul said, the things I want to do, I'm not able to do it. This is Paul. I don't know. Do you know who Paul is? Bro, you know, bro. Paul said, the things I want to do, I cannot do it. And then the things I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself habitually doing. Amen. He said, okay, if in my mind I do the thing, I don't want to do the things I'm doing, then it means I agree with the law of God, that the law of God is good. But I have a revelation. Say, there is another law within me that is causing me to do the things I don't want to do. You see, at the end of the day, it comes down to what you have done, what I have done about this foreign occupation. This cancer, there is a malignancy in the soul of man. You know, it's like HIV. HIV gets into this room, in 1 month, it takes over the whole room. And everybody will be working for it. Do you understand? It comes into the body, it takes over the DNA apparatus of the cell. And every protein produced is HIV nonsense protein. That's what the devil, that's the psychology of the devil. He has, that seed, there was a seed that entered into the soul of man. That seed has taken over the soul. and it is darkness. It is one way down. It's heading down. It is to keep man down. But the Bible said that the way of the righteous is upward, to depart from iniquity. Do you understand? It's above. So there is only one way to go. And brethren, it is to come out of the new Old Testament mentality. It's to come out of this location church mentality. That is Hornsey type church. Or you go to MIS or any other place. That is, when I go there, that is church. No. Church is every moment. Church is the sum total of the thoughts you have. That is, God is not even saying what you say. He's thinking of what you think about your brother. You understand? There must be purity at that level. That's where he's measuring. The truth, he said, truth must be where? In the inward part. So it's not a question that somebody hurt me. Yes, because they hurt me, I have the right to retaliate. Forget it. That's old. You don't understand. When somebody has hurt you, start crying. Because the way you respond to that hurt is more important than the hurt that was given to you. That's the new order. Someone says, oh, somebody took my wife, therefore I killed him. No problem with that. It is the way. So God is looking at it. So God is going to give you different obstacles in life, different things. Somebody is hitting your car doing this because he's looking at, he's trying to show you that you must look inward. So he says, come up hither. Rise up. So God is saying, do not measure the outer court. Now, the outer court speaks of a mentality. And when you come into the regions of the soul, you must understand that there are elements, there are different aspects, you know, of the soul. The back doors and the front door. The different functioning of the soul, the different realms of the soul. It's a long story. And the church, we have not even started. So God, the devil wants us playing church, and God is measuring the temple. God is measuring the soul. God is setting the altar. So in Elijah's time, they had to build the altar. So the altar within your soul, God wants to rebuild. He wants to reconstruct. So that, and he must restore the offering. Because at the middle of the week, the offering was stopped. You understand? And right now, that offering must be restored. Because there is a people that must rise up. The two witness companies that must rise up, that must go forth in that same manner, in that same dimension and spirit and anointing of Elijah, which is upon us. You know, so there is something that God is saying, and he's saying, come out of the holy place. There is a most holy place church coming in. The most holy place church is represented by a man, Jesus Christ. It was a man. That's the doctrine of Christ. Is that the Spirit of Christ came into a human body called Jesus. You understand? And that same Spirit is coming into a body called Ibuku. Do you understand? No difference. No, it's the same ancient Spirit of Christ. And the Bible says, if that Spirit of Christ came, it's the same Spirit that is in you, then whatever Jesus did, you will do. Whatever he overcame, you overcome. Why would you overcome? Because of the Spirit of Christ. Now, that is the doctrine of Christ. The same Spirit. And that is the lampstand. You understand? Because the lampstand is speaking of that, you know, the seven Spirit of God. And when that Spirit comes into the soul, it is to bring an illumination. There are seven spirits. There are seven burnings. You understand? And so that is where the church is going to. And you and I, we have been contaminated by popular theology. What they call evangelical theology of I'm raptured, I'm waiting to go to heaven. Which is actually a branch of ultimate, which is actually a very fine form of ultimate reconciliation. You know, because what you're saying, you leave the soul, you don't do anything to the soul. Then the trumpet blows in Jerusalem. And you, in London, you will hear it. You understand? If I blow a trumpet in just down the road in where's that, King's Cross? If you are here, you won't even hear the trumpet. Do you understand? So the soul must be changed. the soul must be prepared. And that is the purpose of the holy place. The outer court is meant to bring you out of the world, cleanse you, and move you into a place where the soul is changed. And that soul must now be, the refined soul must be moved in a place where it is married to Christ. So every place has its own function. So if I'm in the place where I'm not even being changed, I'm still struggling with sanctification, with consecration, with dedication, you understand? You know, so it means I have to do that first, then I come. If my soul is going to be changed, it says, I will put my law in the inward part. That is the new covenant. That's, if that is not even taking place, then therefore, then, so you see, I have a double jeopardy. One, I'm in the outer court. And when you are there, it's possible that you might even go outside the outer court. Because there are some people who are here now, bro. Have you been seeing them? Where are they? So, it's either you are moving forward or you are moving back. And you say the court that is without, do not even measure it. You know, so the thing that determines where you are, determines what you eat, what you feed your soul. That is what tells you where you are. So check, what are the things you feed your soul? Is it entertainment? So do a census. The things you did yesterday, where do you get your energy from? Is it from Facebook? Or is it from hearing the voice of the Lord? You understand? That voice of the Lord created everything in the world out of which Facebook is made. You want entertainment? Go to the voice of the Lord. You see, God in His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. But to a carnal man can't understand. How can I have joy in God's presence? It's so dull. You know, even you go there, everything is so, it's not exciting. You don't have Cartoon Network, you don't have all those things. But I can tell you, God can play a video for you. He took a man to the island of Patmos and began to play a video for him. Do you understand? He played the old one for him. He took him to the beginning of time. And he took him to the end. He saw the visions of God. Do you understand? So, see, there is a realm in which you come and you come into the television channel of God. Where you begin to hear voices. Someone says, and the Lord said to my Lord. He heard it. How did he say? The Lord was speaking to his Lord and he overheard what they were saying. Yeah. Amen. So there is a place where you hear the voice of God. And there is a place where you say, young men shall see visions. My friend, you can see visions of God. Amen. Amen. You can see God. You can see it every day. You are see, say, Mom, I saw the Lord today. Amen. Amen. And you can have it. So God wants to bring us to the place where we begin to see and hear and partake of and touch the reality of God. But we cannot eat that evangelical thing and still have this end time. God has given us a word, brethren. Let us not throw away our inheritance. We have an inheritance. And that inheritance is the word to be a son. That means we are going all the way. It means there are some things we will drop. There are some things. Say, this one, I will leave it. Say, the court which is without. There are many things. It's a popular place. Noise making, offering, sacrifice. You come to a quieter place where it's only priests that enter. That's the holy place. And you go out of that now to the place where only one man, the high priest. So if you are going to go, you must be in the high priest in order to go in. It's a much more pristine, it's an elite class. Amen. So God is thinning down the crowd. So the thing is, where do you want to dwell? And we, as a church, where do we want to dwell? I told somebody, there is an altar court music. There's an altar court worship. There is a holy place worship. There is a holy place music. And there is a new music that is heard beneath the veil. You understand? So, you have to be careful. What message are you hearing? And what worship are you hearing? So, as you move, things must change. You drop some and you pick up a new mannerism, new worship, new song system, new music system. So, you might find out that you might have to dismantle the whole thing. Because that time is gone. There's a new order coming. If there's a new order, then brethren, let's change. Let's be flexible. You understand? So, I think I've gone more than my time. I thank God for this opportunity to be here. And there is someone waiting on the wings. So I'm going to ask Brother Bob to come. And I'll take us for the rest of the time. Amen.